Queen Nefertiti. Nefertiti was an Egyptian woman born around 1390 BCE who would become the queen to Pharaoh Akhenaten. The name Nefertiti means a beautiful woman has come, which was fitting because she was well known for her beauty. The identity of her parents is unknown in most circles, and little is known about her early life. She became the wife of Pharaoh Amenhotep, who would change his name to Akhenaten because they were followers of Aten. Nefertiti would take on the name change as well. She was known as Neferuaten Nefertiti, which means beautiful are the beauties of Aten, a beautiful woman has come. Akhenaten made a radical change in converting his kingdom to the following of Aten. Nefertiti was very instrumental in the ruling of Egypt alongside her husband. Akhenaten did not reject her opinions. He respected her and her views. Nefertiti was often depicted with the crown of the pharaoh upon her head. She can also be seen in battle with her husband. She was respected enough to become a member of the priesthood, which gave the offering to Aten. It is stated that the queen gave birth to 6 children as the wife of the pharaoh. Unfortunately, not much is known about the queen because no historical records of her exist after around 1360 BCE. It is said that internal strife existed within Akhenaten's kingdom because of his change from the following of Amen-Ra to the following of Aten. Many theories exist about the disappearance of Nefertiti. No one is quite certain as to what happened to the queen. What we do know is she was depicted as a majestic, brilliant, beautiful ruler and wife. Queen Neferuaten Nefertiti, we proudly stand on your shoulders. Sojourner Truth. In 1797, a young girl named Isabella was born into slavery in Ulster County, New York. Her parents were James and Betsy, and they were owned by Colonel Johannes Hardenberg. As a young girl, Isabella did not speak English. She only spoke what is called Low Dutch, and she could not read or write. Isabella would marry a man named Thomas, who was also enslaved at the time. Together, the couple produced 5 children. Between 1815 and 1826, she was sold to 4 different slave owners on 4 different occasions. In 1826, Isabella had enough and decided to escape slavery and claim her freedom. She made her home in New York City until 1943, where she began traveling the country as a preacher, fighting against injustices. One of the major changes Isabella made in her life was changing her name. She chose the name Sojourner Truth. Her name fit her mission. She was determined to combat slavery. Throughout her travels, Truth would live in Massachusetts and Ohio and was building a name for herself in the Midwest and Southeast. She was able to build alliances with fellow abolitionists and freedom fighters. She found a way to support herself by selling self-portraits. Truth was also able to support herself by selling her biography, The Narrative of Sojourner Truth, a Northern Slave, which was written by Olive Gilbert in 1850. Truth would be accompanied on her journey by her grandson, Sammy Banks. He could read and write, so he was very useful to her. In 1856, she traveled to Battle Creek, Michigan via invite to speak in front of a group of Quakers who were considered radical. She would eventually move to Battle Creek, Michigan 10 years later, converting an old barn into her home. During the 1960s, Truth found herself working for the Freedmen's Bureau at a time when ex-slaves were looking for refuge. Her mission with the Bureau was to push for improved conditions at the Freedmen's Village. A huge number of ex-slaves were coming from Washington, D.C. with no place to live or turn. Many were able to live at the Freedmen's Village, but still managed to experience inhumane conditions. The children of the slaves were often kidnapped by residents of Maryland, and when the parents complained, they were punished. Truth became aware of the conditions the people were living in and led a protest against the village. She was threatened immediately with detainment, but as a true hero, she took the mission head on. Truth became instrumental in helping ex-slaves travel across the country to start a new life. She was relentless in her efforts to lobby the government for free land for the ex-slaves and to cover the cost of their relocation. Truth is most notable for her speech, "Ain't I a Woman?" She gave the address at a women's rights convention in 1851. The purpose of the address was to bring awareness to the plight of women and to fight for equality. On September 26, 1883, Sojourner Truth died at her home at the age of 86. It is reported that 1,000 people attended her funeral to honor a true American hero. Truth devoted her life to literally freeing her people from enslavement and helping to improve race relations throughout the country. Madam Sojourner Truth, we proudly stand on your shoulders. Carlota Lukumi. In the early 1800s, a young girl named Carlota was kidnapped from her Yoruba village in Nigeria and transported to Matanzas, Cuba. While living in Cuba, she was sold to a sugarcane plantation where the conditions were poor and inhumane. Carlota was strong-willed and vigilant. She refused to let her conditions break her. In 1843, Carlota met a fellow slave girl named Fermina, who planned an uprising. Carlota was willing and able to help Fermina raid the plantation to gain their freedom. Unfortunately, the plantation owners learned of Fermina's plans. She was beaten and locked in jail. Carlota was not deterred by Fermina's incarceration. She used the talking drums to communicate to the others of her plans. The slaves would often use their drums as a safe way to communicate to each other. Using the drums, Carlota organized a raid on the plantation, which helped to free Fermina and others from the jail. On November 5th, 1843, it is said to be the date the slaves led by Carlota launched their year-long raid against the whites and plantation owners. The slaves used guerrilla tactics to attack the whites, which helped them to gain victories for a short while. Ultimately, Carlota and her comrades were captured and executed by the Spanish plantation owners. She would inspire future uprisings against slavery and oppression. Her ideas and passions did not die with her. They were continued by those who shared her vision. Even though Carlota was not successful in the end, she represents the spirit of freedom, the spirit of liberty. Man was born to be free, and she was not willing to lie down and accept her conditions. She possessed brains, tact, skill, courage, leadership, and love for her people. Miss Carlota Lukumi, we proudly stand on your shoulders. Marie Joseph Angelique. During the 1730s, a young slave girl named Marie Joseph Angelique would start a rebellion history would never forget. Angelique was the property of Francois Poulin of Montreal. Little is known about the history of slavery in Canada. She was a slave girl who was being prepared to become a mating partner with a fellow slave. Angelique was a woman of sound mind and she was resistant to the demands of her master. She was also engaged in a relationship with a white indentured servant named Claude Thibault from France. April 10th, 1734, Angelique set fire to the home of her master. The fire spread to other houses and businesses. The total damage was 46 buildings burned. One of the buildings was the famous Hotel du Hospital. She was captured before she could escape and brought to trial for the fire. The trial took 2 months. Within that time, Angelique was interrogated and tortured until she confessed to the fire. On June 21, 1734, Angelique was set to be executed by the authorities of Montreal. She was paraded through the streets by a rope, one end tied to her neck and the other tied to a wagon. They placed signs upon her back that read arsonist. She was forced to beg for mercy in front of the onlooking crowd. Next, one of her hands were cut off. She was then hung in front of the crowd by a slave named Matthew. They then burned her body and spread her ashes throughout the land. Slavery in Canada is greatly overlooked and understudied. It is a place where the church frowned upon slavery, but in the case of Angelique, the church turned a blind eye. She was killed because she stood up for her rights as a human being. Freedom was her goal, and she gave her life to gain it. Marie Joseph Angelique, we proudly stand on your shoulders. For more information, please visit www.ontheshoulders1.com.